Podcast chronicles my struggles to teach probability to infants, or what we call infants, children's primary school, early primary school children. The ideas are sound, the implementation is almost there, and the opportunity has been and gone, but it's probably worth a listen to encounter some of the thinking behind it, some of the things explored, some of the dead ends, some of the new ideas. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific or educational tips. In this one, it sort of digs down into the past, where I've attempted to address a problem in an innovative way, or just a very practical way, and come against some unexpected snags, and I have some thoughts over the years about how one can get around this. So the story is that I was looking at how probability is taught. So typically the dice is fantastic, and so there's usually a scenario, and then this scenario is related to a dice, and then the dice roll, and that's related to something else. So usually in a game or things like that, it's a very good way of generating a random possibility. And I wanted to expand that, I suppose, perhaps from my understanding of, probability, quantum mechanics and things like that. My father was a statistician, the chief of math stats and CSIRO out here for a year or so, and friends of the family were Sir Ronald Fisher, who came out to South Australia. My father was involved in having him come up out and did some still fairly heavy duty statistics, the Cornish Fisher distributions, sort of looking at student T tests, all these things that I'm very deeply into, working out the quality of your randomness to actually pick up whether you have some data, whether it's truly random, and the significance of it, which is a little bit ahead of what obviously primary school students will look at. And of course, the quantum mechanics is to do obviously with probability, but also a space, that a probability that something must happen, it must add up to one, and the idea of a sort of very actuality of probability, how you could get that down. So the idea is to have effectively dice with the actual outcomes written on it, and not necessarily the same probability on each, and subsequent this than that, the successive probability of two objects, one unlikely event and a second unlikely event being very, very unlikely, to get an overall view of that. So the basic idea was to have a one of those clutter wheels that you have for raising money, where the wheel spins and the where it stops is the outcome. It's obviously you're asked to put in money because they do not know who's going to win, so therefore you've that's a probabilistic bet. But converting that around, you want more a backboard with the different probabilities marked out as sectors, and then an arrow moving around the outside. And for student participation, you actually want them to construct that backboard and have the arrow move around. And ideally, you want to have two, so it's natural that there's a second one there. That's natural. They'll think of a second probability. The actual structure of the actual activity you have there has it there. And so my overall idea was to break apart a $5 remote control car, which has two motors, and forward and back and left and right. So you can get those two motors and get the remote control to power motors, which then stuck through and powered little arrows which went around, and you had your blackboard that people wrote on. And that seemed a general good idea of student participation. They actually could see that the length, the arc, or the number of degrees corresponded to the probability. So 60 degrees is 1 in 6, 90 degrees is a quarter, and 180 is half, depending on how you sum it up. And it's got to be a full 360 degrees. Not that you talk about degrees, but they know that, and they could say for activities, right, Bruce, Doug, Holden, or various, Jaden seems to be, Isaac seems to be names, various Fionas, Felicities, various other names that come in there. You could put them up there and have the arrow come around, and they're sort of very much plugged into who goes with what. And you can basically have two arrows for two people have to be picked up at random to go up. Now, I've got another basic way of teaching randomness, and there's nothing like actually having the person up there. They're not winning a prize. It's removing the number of steps completely. You know, it's a random, it's got a consequence, and the way that they draw it is up there. And so you've got the basic idea. And at the time, I had a bit of... I had been constructing things out of Perspex, basically protective boxes for high-voltage laser components. These are pretty massive nitrogen spark gaps and mark capacitor banks, which sort of double your voltage in a big spark into excimer. So I'd been constructing and folding Perspex for a while and gluing them together. And so I went down. I had a bit of spare Perspex left over from a robotics cage. So we had the fencing around the outside. You could still stick your hand through, so up went the Perspex on the outside, so you can definitely do it. It's nothing more grotty than a standard cage. So Perspex, based on basic pool fencing, was fantastic for generating a robot cage. So I had a fair amount of Perspex in a design, and I went round and basically got this up and running. The arrow moving, tested it out. Ideal white Perspex. You can buy different coloured Perspex. You know, once you get on Perspex, and the glue is pretty toxic, my friend. You can't actually buy it in Australia. It's not manufactured in Australia. It's got to be brought in from the United States because it's not allowed to be processed. For something, there's some aspect of it, and you have to be careful. This is the downside of Perspex. This is where it actually melts the Perspex and it welds it together. And so I'd built this fairly large Perspex box, tested it out. I had a very cooperative teacher, Mrs. Mackey, across the road. And so we worked on how to actually do some of these experiments. And various days, it would always happen. So I think one day my daughter carried over a large plastic robot. They gave me a plastic robot and we put it together, and she brought it home, brought it over to show people, and she walked across the road and there's this big divot in the road where people park in front of the school road, and she tripped over and that robot went into millions and millions of little pieces. And there you can go. And so the day came across, briefed Mrs. Mackey on how to do it, got your basic lesson plan out, and would have a good love, a little look. And Felicity tripped in the same hole, the second thing, and the actual big board, it was a big teaching board, which, you know, coming now to think of it, it's impractical and unsafe, but it fell apart and broke into sharp shards, and I was able to put it back together. I never had a big set of experiments. So that's sort of the basis of the idea, and it's sort of a realisation that... we're having another bird. This is now mudlarks, which are up here. There's a... let's see... yes, this is a male and female. You can see by the stripes in their eyes So I think the female have a stripe down, the males have a more like wearing glasses here. Okay, getting back up here, this is one of the things you get used to, a bit of a story about my cardiac rehab and a bit of a story of the various birds which come opposite. At least these ones aren't fighting, aren't aggressive. I also have across the garden from here a bowerbird nest, and it's full of various blue things, including a bit of blue... a blue piece, quite extraordinary how it did. It's a long piece of blue hookup wire. I don't know how it got across in such a long, perfect line. Okay, getting back to it. So the general idea is we've got the teaching concept, the general ideas, not up to a point where we can assess it and go across. The fundamental idea is to cut the mathematical steps out, that the actual probability is there, the probability in the person is there, and the maths comes later. You know, the maths, you know, the actual mathematics is a consequence of problem solving with it. It's not, you know, the maths first describes the problem and then you go, it's sort of try to simplify it. Student participation, that they get to draw the background, various things, and then the implementation, the cheapest possible with the materials available, not the overall solution. It's something that can be done. Looked pretty flash, but then smashed to smithereens. It had a clear perspex lid on it, so people could, it was relatively safe, but people could write on top of it. Now we want to get a more advanced version. So there's a problem of the students getting up and being able to write on the board and have access. So ideally you want to get them a large piece of paper where they draw their whatever it is, and then the unit it's then placed on. That is, you draw it on the paper and the paper goes up, and somehow the arrow which goes around is placed afterwards. So you could have, if you really wanted to, a hole in the paper and the arrow pushed on the axis again and it goes across. That could be one way, you know, to get it to go across, and the remote control goes along. Then you can have the actual motor thing slaved, so you have a rotating magnet underneath your piece of paper, a bearing with magnets on the inside, which with the arrow on it, and it's held there by magnetic force, but underneath there's the rotating magnets, a magnetic feed through. We have that in vacuum systems, so if we want to get rotation through without a feed through, so a magnetic coupling. So you get your sheet up that the students have drawn, and the arrow can move around. Strangely enough, you have to actually put a little slot in the arrow so there can be no dispute. They can draw a very fine line. They wind up drawing fine lines there to see what angle it's across. So this is now a blank sheet, and the teacher can bring out of the drawer a bearing, sort of no mechanics in it. It can obviously spin around, but underneath it's got a slave north-south magnet, which is slave to the other north-south. I don't know. To actually get the actual smoothness of it, I almost suggest a stepper motor situation where the computer, like a servo, mimics the fact that the slow down, where the students can see it spinning fast and it slows quick, and there's sort of anxiety. There's nothing... the anxious where it's slowing down, you can sort of speed it up, it's slowness to get the attention and excitement through it. So in terms of a class thing, only one person can see the dice and they report it, but here is something more visible, and the students have actually put their values up, you know, their division of who works with whom, or a two-part probability about what group does what, and you get the various probabilities. And if they're making it out, they can obviously see if someone's only got a small piece of the cake, it's a smaller probability coming along. And so this is that coupling idea. There is obviously another way where you have a whiteboard, a thing which sits onto it, and the rotation is done by a wheel on the back of the arrow, which spins it round. The appropriate batteries and remote control pickup, so the teacher can press the, or the teacher or student can press the button, and it can spin round for a a period of time. It is to have it a purely random spinning thing, it's perhaps better to have it electronic. Look, the major thing is if you have the person up doing it, it can actually, you know, to keep the pace of the thing, it's best to have it electronic. So if you can't understand that, that's an axis. On the axis is a motor, and the motor's got a wheel which spins, can actually get it to move around. Something which is good, because that gives you something rather than the probability being A or B. It can, where it actually goes is very precise. I don't know if you can hear at the moment. We've got the bowerbird going off. Oh, I hope you can hear it. Oh, I'll just have a quick look. I can't see. It's up in the trees. It'll come down in a while. It's got its bow and all its blue stuff then. Coming along, you could have an LED version. I'm a bit reticent across it, because that doesn't actually get the actual fineness of the fraction there. There's not the tension of whether it's in or out, and you don't get people sort of learning about measurement and discussion about accuracy and stuff like that, which naturally comes up. So look, in summary, there's a general basis of, let's set out a new idea and see how many good features we can overturn with a little bit of engineering. And the features are simplification of the maths problems, making it more instant that the problem comes up first, and the maths is a subsequent strategy of analysing and thinking about it, which is a good thing. Group participation, drama, and fun associated with it, cheapness, and then the engineering solution. Without thinking, putting it together, and you make something which is sort of pretty unwieldy, heavy, unsafe. Well, fortunately, I didn't know that a piece of perspex, which is good in the lab, in the hands of kids, can actually break. We sort of looked at it and took it away. But there is sort of this mechanical view for teaching probability, and the benefit for a country or for any group being able to teach kids probability a bit more and being able to open up things. You obviously don't want them to learn probability by gambling and things like that. But to think clearly, I don't know who could sponsor it, but it gives the overall opportunity. So you're more than welcome to take it and explore it. Again, the other thing is to have two identical versions of this, simply because your remote controls normally operate two motors independently, and even on your cheap devices, and your cheap devices, and then that naturally leads up to stack probability, probably event A and event B, and trying to work out at what the probability of it, and so they can naturally pick up solutions. Again, this is one of the many things I explored, came across, and because there's a lot of other things happening at the same time, it's a busy thing, and there's not necessarily a link up to pick up ideas. There is very much a link up to pick up ideas in education, but if you're a teacher in the right zone, and so the political things, and you're not from the outside, and it's going, so there are people who can press the right buttons. So there's someone who was using the Wii to teach. It's impossible to think of this physical fitness. This was before the Wii Fit came on. He made his career teaching Wii Fitness in physical education. Being an astute teacher, did the right thing and got the opportunities flowing, the money flowing, so kept ahead of an obvious market, a market trend. It hasn't happened in this local area, but it's now out there in the world. And if you're interested, be very good. And obviously, if you do experiment in this way, I will be your greatest cheerleader. I'll cheer you on. That's a fantastic thing. I'd be interested to know in any modifications that you can do that would definitely improve it. In practical teaching, this probability idea is some aspect that I do teach, and I'll give another podcast on the use of playing cards to manage probability and teach probability in the classroom. A very useful thing for a number of things. One is making life decisions to do with probability and health, and making decisions, probability to do with investments and tasks and understanding things, and the ability of people to sort of mask the real probability of things to be actually tricked. It's sort of a really fundamental life skill that your students want to get, and also the cooperative ability to discuss probability in a group to make a decision. That's another life skill out there. This is Peter Hill Explains. Thank you very much for listening. In the meantime, keep on doing science and teaching science.